1230 WCOL. Good morning and welcome in. This is WCOL Morning Magazine, what we call Page 2, and I'm Tom LoCicero, and a beautiful, beautiful morning in downtown Columbus. Makes you want to think you might want to jump on a bicycle and take a trip. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, believe it or not. A trip across the country and then some on a bicycle. We have two special guests in studio this morning. One is Steve Roberts, and the other is Maggie Victor. And we're going to get to know them a little bit over the course of the next 45 or 50 minutes and find out all about this. Steve has already done this once, okay? And this is no ordinary bicycle that he travels on. We're going to find out all about it, why it's different. It's loaded with computers. Steve has a very successful business. He's also an author. He's a consultant. But apparently he has a yearning to get away from all of that every once in a while and take a trip like this. Steve, Maggie, good morning to you and welcome.
Good morning.
Thank you for being on the program this morning. First of all, Steve, you had a successful business. You're consulting. You're doing well. What, based in Dublin, is that right?
That's right.
Right here in the nice, beautiful central Ohio area. Were you bored? Is that why you decided to take a trip? And, you know, this kind of a trip?
Yeah, my business was freelance writing. And after defining something as freelancing and staying in a house in suburbia for 3 or 4 years, chained to a desk with a mortgage and all those standard expenses, I started to feel like I was, tied to a corporate lifestyle, which theoretically shouldn't be the case at all if you're able to write for a living. After all, that's a license to be a generalist.
Very good.
So I've wanted to travel for years, and I decided that if I waited till I could afford it, I'd be about 65 when it finally happened, and I'd be in the motorhome crowd. So about that time, which was 83, the technology was changing rather dramatically. Portable computers were happening, computer networks were happening, and I suddenly realized I could build a whole office, stick it on my bicycle, and wander around the country.
So this way you can stay in contact with whatever is going on back home, not miss a beat, and still be traveling around the country seeing the sights.
That's right.
Okay. Now, you've done this once already.
Yes.
All right. Now, there've got to be a lot of negatives and positives, which we'll get into. But basically, off the top of your head, more positives than negatives? Is that why you decided to do it again?
It's the lifestyle of choice. Yes, I've been a high-tech nomad now for about 3 years. The first trip was 9,760 miles around the country and lasted about a year and a half.
Okay.
And I came back to rebuild and do it a little bit better this time.
Okay, 821-WCOL is the phone number, 821-9265, talking with Steve Roberts and Maggie Victor, who are getting ready to launch their second trip. Actually, Steve's second trip, Maggie's first trip. And I want to bring in Maggie now. You're taking off this weekend, right?
Yes,
is
Saturday.
Is that correct? How did he talk you into this? Will you be honest with us?
It wasn't hard.
It really wasn't hard? Because now you told me off the air 6-8 months ago you knew nothing of this type of bicycle or anything like this, and all of a sudden you're geared up to take this cross-country trip. How did you get so enthused about it?
Just knowing Steve adds a lot of enthusiasm to anything. And I said, well, this looks like it'd be interesting and a lot of fun.
Did you work together before? Did you just meet in the last 6 months? Is that right? And just become friends over the last 6 months?
Exactly 6 months.
Right. Okay, you decided, well, first time around you did it yourself, by yourself?
Right.
Okay. Why a traveling companion this time?
Well, there are a lot of trade-offs. Traveling alone, it was a trip with many beginnings and many endings, but very few middles. You know, I had a lot of short-term relationships. I would pedal into town and fall madly in lust with someone, and 3 days later, I'd be on the road again.
You heard it, folks, right here. Okay. Sounds like a soap opera, you know,
right.
Steve's Other Life or whatever.
Right.
Okay, so this way you've got somebody for the long term.
Yeah. There are a lot of occasions when I really wanted somebody to share something with a little more deeply.
Yeah.
I did maintain a number of stable relationships via the computer networks. I'd stop at a payphone and sign on, and we can get into more detail on that, too.
Sure, sure.
But most of my stable social life took place electronically on the first trip.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about the bike, because this is a very special bicycle. You know, I think of a bike, I'm going to get my 3-speed out and pedal around the neighborhood for a couple of miles, you know. No way. No way. First of all, is there anything basic about this bicycle other than that it has two wheels?
It has two wheels, you're right.
All right.
It's about 8 feet long, weighs fully packed, not including me, about 230 pounds, roughly. It is 36 speed. I sit in a semi-reclining position with my hands underneath the seat. It's called a recumbent. Has a disc brake, and you know, there's a lot of bike tech that's unusual to begin with. But on top of all that, it also has solar panels. five computer systems, 2 meter ham radio. I can make telephone calls from it and so on.
You designed all that yourself?
Most of it.
Okay. What's your background to be able to do something like that? Let's talk about that briefly.
Well, I had a computer company for about 6 years in Louisville called Cybertronics, and all that succeeded in doing over that time was ruining my hobby. You know, you take something you love and turn it into a business, and it doesn't take long.
Okay.
I moved to Columbus, wrote a few books about that stuff and a couple hundred magazine articles, and really burned out on all that. But still, I had that technological background. And so that's my basic toolkit. Okay. And when I want to solve a problem, it makes sense to solve it that way.
Now, Maggie, your bike is a slightly different version, not as sophisticated? Or
it is a recumbent bicycle. I don't have as many gears. I have 18 speeds. I have a CB solar panel, the lights, batteries.
Okay, so just really a smaller scale version than of what Steve has. Can you do some of the same communication that he can do on it? Or?
I will be. I have a novice license now for amateur radio. I'm working on upgrading to a technician, and we'll be using CB radios in the 2 meter.
Okay, 821-WCOL, 821-9265. Questions or comments for Maggie Victor and Steve Roberts, getting ready to travel the country on bicycles. Let's talk about send-off that happens this weekend, and we're up in Dublin. Is that where you're taking off
from? Yes, at the Anatech parking lot in Dublin, 2 to 4 on Saturday. That's just off France Road. And, we're going to do a little show and tell and show people the bikes and do what demos we can. Not all of the hardware has been wired up yet. It's all there, but it takes a lot of software design and wiring to make it all work.
You've already had some national publicity on all of this, have you not?
Quite a bit, yeah. This morning's USA Today has a short piece. And, of course, on the 2 days ago I was on Evening Magazine in San Francisco, and nationally I've done PM Magazine and CBS Morning News and things like that.
Roughly you're planning for, what, a year to take the trip or whatever it takes? It doesn't really matter, huh?
Wide open. That's one of the reasons for the computers, because I can make a living on the road.
Right. As far as financing this thing, you've done this totally yourself through your own business?
Right.
You have no outside help?
No sponsors for money. I've had companies provide equipment. I may need a power supply or solar panel or something, and it's pretty easy to get companies to do it for the exposure.
Traveling a country by bicycle sounds like a lot of fun. Should be interesting. We'll talk more with Maggie Victor and Steve Roberts. 821-WCOL, 821-9265. Your phone calls, comments, and questions are welcome. Page 2 of WCOL Morning Magazine. 821-WCOL, 821-9265 is our phone number. It's 920 on page 2 of WCOL Morning Magazine. We're with Steve Roberts and Maggie Victor, Computing Across America. That's the name of the company and the name of the book, is that right?
Right.
Okay, very good. And you're based up in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting ready to travel across the country on bicycles, recumbent bicycles. I have in my hand something that's about 5 inches thick, I guess. It's called Computing Across America, The Bicycle Odyssey of a High-Tech Nomad by Stephen Roberts, and published by Simon & Schuster this year.
Now, learning information. We've changed publishers.
Oh, is that right? Well, then you better change this then. Okay. But anyway, this is really the book that Steve wrote about his first experience, and he's going to have a second one. And we wanted to talk a little bit about that first trip, but let's get into specifically about the computer and, you know, what enabled you to be able to do all of these things. You stated earlier that you were able to maintain contact with your business, make phone calls, do all these other things on the bicycle while you're traveling because of your computer. So let's talk, without getting too sophisticated, Steve, because maybe some people like me who don't understand it, but basically, you know, what makes you or what enables you to do this and maintain this communication all the way back here to Central Ohio?
Okay, well, we can sort of split it into two categories. The computer itself is what I use for text editing, and when I want to write an article, I can sit down and run a word processor just as I would if I were in an office.
Okay.
It also takes care of a database of contacts, some 2,500 people around the country who've offered places to stay. It can do spreadsheet, business type calculations, handle time management, all the things a personal computer does. It's a Hewlett-Packard portable. It looks like an IBM PC in performance.
Now, you didn't have this on the first trip, right?
I did have this on the first trip.
You did have this one, okay.
Now, I started the first trip with a little Radio Shack Model 100.
All right.
And then upgraded to this Hewlett-Packard.
I see.
Now, curiously, I've gone full circle. I still have the Hewlett-Packard, but the problem with a standard keyboard when you're on a bicycle is that it's very hard to type.
Sure.
I considered putting it in my lap and using a head stick, but that would be a ludicrous image. So now I have a keyboard built into the handlebars. And while pedaling down the road, my hands are under the seat, and I can type on two little four-button groups of keys. with 256 combinations, and one of the five computers on the bike translates what I do there into something that the next computer can understand.
Safety is not a factor then, as far as, I mean, there's balance and everything, it's not a problem at all.
No problem. In fact, when I push the buttons, they're not being pushed on an axis that tends to move the steering. So
It's incredible. And you can still watch the sights in the meantime.
That's right. Write about them as I go.
Now, yeah, that's the thing. You can really instantly record whatever you see, and not everyone can do that.
Well, see, the problem was the 10,000 miles of the last trip was about 1,000 hours, which is half of a business year. And that was time when I was awake, alone, stimulated, and having a lot of interesting ideas, but I could never record them.
I see.
I tried dictating, but problem with speech, you can't go back and edit it. You know, it's not easy to work with on tape. So this way I can take care of all of that while pedaling. Now, the other half of your question is communications.
Right.
If I didn't have the communications, I'd have to carry a printer and mailers and boxes of paper, and that gets a little ridiculous. So I can stop at any phone, house phone, pay phone, whatever, hook up a modem and transmit information either directly back to my Ohio office, which is in Dublin, via the Genie network, or even do it via satellite if all this hardware comes together. The beauty of that also, of course, is not only communication of manuscripts and other business things, but also the social life. On the last trip, I used CompuServe, which had on the order of 250,000 subscribers. Genie already has 19,000 and is growing, and that ends up becoming my neighborhood. So I sign on and meet people and cavort in this electronic pub.
It's amazing because most of the time you think about people doing that. It's not uncommon in this day and age, but you do it from an office or a home or whatever, and now you're doing it on the road. That's just incredible. 821-9265, 821-WCOL. Phone lines are wide open. If you want to chat with Steve Roberts or Maggie Victor this morning, folks getting ready to embark on a cross-country bicycle trip with these recumbent bicycles. If you have a specific question about the bikes, the computers that are being used or whatever, I want to get into this first trip and talk about that and then compare it to what you're looking forward to on the second trip, because it has to be so fascinating. Again, you went by yourself the first time around. Now you have a traveling companion. That in itself is one big difference, I see. But let's talk about the first trip. And you didn't get bored. You had things to do. But what kind of an experience was it, first of all, weather-wise?
I tended to stay toward the south during the winter. As far as the route is concerned, I did a little loop around the Midwest, Indianapolis, Louisville, back through Columbus, called that the Shakedown Cruise, and then east to Washington, D.C., all the way down the East Coast to Key West, Florida, and that was winter of 83, basically.
Good time to go south.
Right.
Yeah.
I took a sailboat, 36-foot racing yacht, from Key West to Clearwater, and then went across the south through Texas into New Mexico, meandered all over Colorado. I hit my one-year mark in Colorado, and then down to Southern California and up that coast.
Pictures of Colorado, by the way, in the Aspen area are just simply gorgeous. I wish I could share this album with our listeners this morning. It's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, God's country, as they say.
Oh, it was spectacular.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was kind of difficult to come back.
All right. Any areas that you didn't hit that you would like to hit this time, that you plan the route a little differently?
Yeah, the whole Northwest. We're starting the trip this time in Vancouver, British Columbia. Mm-hmm. We're driving there. I don't know if you mentioned that. We're driving.
No, we didn't.
Okay,
no.
We're taking a van to Vancouver this weekend, or the next week. The bike will be on display at Expo for a week, and then we'll actually begin the trip there south all the way down the West Coast, and that will, and by the winter time, we'll be through Arizona and New Mexico.
So once again, yeah, you plan it for like 3 months hence, and the weather gets cold, you'll be down in the southern area and beautiful.
Yeah, then
nice
north through the Rockies again in the spring, up in perhaps up in Canada again, and then east through the Great Lakes area and around New England, and then down the East Coast. And by then, we'll probably be burned out, and we'll want to stop and rebuild and build the Winnebiko 3, which will be even more sophisticated.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is the Winnebiko 2 at this point. Winnebiko 1 made the first journey, right?
Right.
Traveling across the country, you're not stopping at the fast food restaurants. I mean, what's your lifestyle while you're doing it? You take all your gear with you and your provisions?
Yeah, I have a tent, sleeping bag, cooking gear, all those things. It's not really the lone outdoorsman kind of image that it may call to mind. It's very, very social. Mm-hmm. When you pedal into town on something that looks like it belongs in a nonviolent version of the Road Warriors, it tends to tends to attract a lot of attention. And I had constant invitations. Common experience to pull into town, have people start asking questions and take me home with them. So I really stayed in people's homes much more than I camped or used motels.
Which is great, too, because then you can share your experience with them, and it makes their life a little bit richer probably, too.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
They share their life with me, and I learned from it, too. So
I was thinking about those commercials we were talking about earlier with a guy, and the coffee commercial where the guy is traveling the country taking pictures, and I kind of you know, compare this to what you're doing. It really is about the same. I don't know how that guy's traveling. I suppose he goes in a Rolls or something like that. They never show that
that's cheating.
He's taking all those pictures. You're doing it in a way that's much more fun. 821-WCOL, 821-9265-927 now. Page 2 of WCOL Morning Magazine with Steve Roberts and Maggie Victor, Computing Across America. And what an amazing story this is. Second journey that Steve is getting ready to embark on this coming weekend. Okay, so you take a year and you do this, and you come back and you write another book? Is that what you're planning to do?
Probably. I'll write the book on the way.
You'll write it, and then you'll have it ready, and it'll come back in some form like this.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, I'm trying to look at these pages. All right. Now, this is obviously, this is a second version or whatever.
That's the final manuscript. There's a table of contents in the front that gives an idea of some of the titles.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the stuff that's in here. Share some of that experience with us and some of the things that stand out in your mind, because let's face it, the average person would never have a chance. We might take a bus trip or a train trip or fly across the country and stop at a few cities, but certainly you're going to hit hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of locations. Share some of that fascination with us a little bit, would
you?
Well,
okay, there's quite a mix of romance and human encounters and dangerous moments. There's so many things that happen when you go out and expose yourself to the world for a year and a half.
Not in the literal sense.
No. Let me hasten to correct that. there have been a number of very unusual encounters, of course. One that comes to mind took place in the Maryland woods along the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal towpath. And I was pedaling along in this beautiful fall day, very quiet, and you know, sun sparkling through the trees and the Potomac River to my right. Mm. And through the trees, I could see Interstate 70 to the left, and there had been a truck wreck. So I stopped to look at the truck wreck for a moment, and there was a rustling in the leaves, and five of the biggest, toughest-looking men I've ever seen in my life stepped out of the woods. Well, I've got to make the story short, but in essence, and I won't quote their language, turned out they were convicts from the federal penitentiary at Hagerstown.
Wonderful.
Right. I asked them if they were escaping, and they said, no, they're a work release crew to clean up the truck.
Oh.
And I got ready to leave, and they said, no, you can't leave. We got to fix you up.
I beg your pardon?
That's what I said. I wasn't sure I wanted to be fixed up by the convicts. Anyway, they took me back into the woods, and they had their private stash of the truck's cargo that they'd been ripping off while cleaning up this wreck, and it was hidden back in the bushes under a tarp. And I thought, oh, no, I'm going to be living with these guys soon. Well, they pulled back the tarp, and underneath was a giant mound of Sara Lee pastries.
Oh, my goodness. You died and went to heaven,
yeah,
right?
The guy said, have some walnut cake. It's excellent. Another one says, you don't want no walnut cake. You want cheese Danish. That's where it's at. And before long, I had this armload of pastries, and we lashed it to the bike, and
so
off I went.
So to please them all, you tried everything,
that's
right?
That's right. I had to. They made me eat it all. But.
Incredible slice of life, no pun intended. 821-WCOL, 821-9265. It's 9:30 on WCOL Morning Magazine. Page 2, talking with Steve Roberts and Maggie Victor. Computing Across America, the name of the book, and also the name of Steve's business as they get ready to embark on a trip across the country on bicycles. Let's go to the campus area. Millie, good morning. You're on Talk Radio. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
Isn't this kind of a neat experience?
Yeah, it's terrific. I would like to know what a recumbent bicycle is and what is Vicky's background and how old they are. I will hang up and listen.
You mean Maggie Victor's background, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, her name is Maggie. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Thank you for calling. You're going to hang up, you said?
Yeah.
All right, very good.
All right. Recumbent bicycle is infinitely more comfortable than the old-fashioned bike where you sit on a little tiny seat and bend over handlebars and put lots of pressure on your arms. One of the problems with those is that you can't really see the world you're pedaling through without craning your neck.
Sure.
I wouldn't want a tour on one. On the recumbent, I'm sitting on a semi-reclining seat. I'm leaning back, sort of like a lawn chair on wheels. Arms are hanging comfortably at my sides, and their handlebar is actually under the seat that are coupled through a tie rod to a small front wheel. Front wheel's only 16 inches compared to the usual 27 inches. My rear wheel is normal. It's 27. And it's 36 speed. I've got something to push against. In fact, if you think about a Nautilus machine, for example, where you're doing leg presses,
mm-hmm.
you can put much more power into the pedals because you have back support, and you can really put out some power. So I've never had to walk it up a hill, even with all that load and Rocky Mountain passes to climb.
Would you say it's built for comfort and speed?
Comfort, speed, efficiency, and safety. Some people will argue the safety issue because you're a little lower. My experience has been, first of all, I'm not that much lower. I have a large blinking highway barricade flasher on the back and flags. And to be quite honest, there have been a few accidents, but what happens is cars tend to hit each other because they're watching me and not
sure.
the road.
Gawking, yeah.
Yeah, they're fascinated by it.
Is there better balance with a vehicle like this, do you find?
I think so, because you're close to the ground. It's certainly no more difficult than a regular bike. And if you fall, there's much less distance to fall.
Okay.
In fact, it's almost impossible to land on your head.
Now, the second question for Millie, she wants to know more about you. All right, Maggie. Tell us about Maggie. Yeah, we know enough about Steve already. Come on, Maggie, tell us about you.
She asked how old I was. I'm 34, and this is my first cross-country bicycle tour.
Mm-hmm. What was your background? Because obviously it was very different from Steve's, and you know, you met up and decided to get involved in this trip now. But tell us a little bit about yourself, and how does a young woman from someplace get involved with something like this?
Random.
The someplace is Marion, Ohio, and I was down here on some business and met Steve at a local club and listening to some jazz music and got to know each other and become great friends right away.
Mm-hmm. You didn't think he was crazy, did you, when you first met him?
Very interesting. I need to know more about this person.
Okay.
I had worked in social services in Marion, energy auditing, for about 6 years prior to this.
Okay.
I'd given that all up, and now I'm...
No computer background or anything like that? Then,
a little bit of word processing,
okay,
you know, that sort of thing, just in the office.
Basically, the man fascinated you, obviously, from the first meeting.
Right.
Okay. And vice versa, I might add.
I can tell that. 821-WCOL, 821-9265. Millie, I hope that answers your questions, tells you a little bit more about the recumbent bicycle and also about Maggie's background. Maggie Victor, Steve Roberts with us on page 2 of WCOL Morning Magazine. If you want to know more about the trip they're going to be taking starting this weekend, the trip that Steve took the first time around, about the bicycle, anything you want to know, talk about computers. We're going to talk about the impact on people's lives with computers, because we all know what has happened in the 1980s, and it's just incredible. Who would have ever predicted, you know, 20 years ago that this would have happened? 821-WCOL, 821-9265. And as far as the weather's concerned, the sunshine that you see out there this morning with the mixed clouds will give way to some showers developing this afternoon and evening. High today at 83, low tonight 68. Variably cloudy tomorrow, again a few showers and a high of 84. 72, a bit of sunshine in the downtown on WCOL. Steve of Computing Across America, that's the title of the business and also the title of the book. The man is getting ready to make his second trip across the country by bicycle, a recumbent bicycle, if you will. And this time he's going to have a companion, a traveling companion, Maggie Victor. Steve talking about the book that he wrote. Maggie, tell me, you're going to do some riding on this trip too yourself. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, I just worked out a deal with the local newspaper in Marion, and I'll be submitting a biweekly column about my adventure.
Miles with Maggie.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Ooh, did you come up with that, or did you?
I don't remember.
Okay. I think you're guilty of that one.
Well, that's great. So the folks back home will actually get to share this experience with you by the newspaper. I think that's terrific.
I thought that'd be a lot easier than sending letters back to everyone.
Okay. 821-WCOL, 821-9265 is the phone number. Questions for Steve Roberts or Maggie Victor, or maybe just a comment, you know. I think it takes a lot of guts. Maybe that's not the right word, intestinal fort, whatever, to just really to plan something like this and do it. So many people say, boy, I'd like to chuck it all and go do something like that. Let's talk about that a little bit, because there's a free spirit in many, many people, but something holds them back, and it obviously has not held back either one of you.
Fear of the unknown holds a lot of people back. I get a lot of reactions like that. People get this very wistful look and say, oh, if I didn't have this job, or if I wasn't married, or if, then
right.
I would do this.
Sure.
One of my basic attitude about that is that there's no difference between having 6 months left to live and having 40 years left to live. You know, this is it. You know, this is our shot. We have to make it.
Live for today.
Count. Yeah. And it's... I think if fear of the unknown holds you back and keeps you from doing things, you know, the greatest risk of all is taking no risk.
All right. When you got involved in your business originally, there were some fears involved there, right?
Always.
Sure.
Every change.
Okay. But it's a challenge, too.
Oh, yeah. That's the excitement.
Same thing with this. Okay. So it's a new challenge every day as far as you're concerned?
Yeah.
Every time you get up and the sun comes up and you go to a new city or whatever. Okay, that brings us to the question then about this second trip. Obviously, there were so many good things that happened to you on the first trip, and you've shared some of that with us. Now, as you set your sights on the second trip, and you're taking off this weekend, what are you hoping to achieve this time around that you didn't achieve the first time?
Well, of course, a lot of it's just the day-to-day adventure. The bicycle is a learning machine, and this trip is a learning adventure, and that in turn yields all sorts of interesting stories. So, on one level, this is a way to get paid for playing. My mm-hmm. job is to have an exciting life and then tell people about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lousy job, but somebody's got to do it, right? The different character this time, of course, is having Maggie with me. Will make it. I'm not sure exactly what it will be like, but it will be different.
So Maggie's wondering too. What's it going to be like? You know, this crazy man here talked me into this.
And of course, in the process, we have a blatant commercial interest, naturally, in that the book will be out within a couple of months, and the ongoing exposure will help market that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, if you can profit from this thing too, you know, it shouldn't be all fun and games, right?
I've wanted to avoid doing it through actual sponsorship. I've seen a lot of people travel with a company behind them paying the bills, and somehow that tends to take a lot away from it.
I was going to say, you don't feel any obligations other than to yourself,
right?
Really, and you know that your company is in good hands. You're mm-hmm. still able to maintain that contact with them and still do your thing, so you don't really feel like, gee, I've got to feel guilty about this and this time I'm away.
Now, of course, I should point out my company is a very small thing. Basically, I'm just a lone freelance writer.
Okay.
But I have an office, an assistant named Kelly Monroe, who's maintaining the business here in Columbus. And in fact, she's moving into my apartment and just taking over everything. So I'll be in touch with her on a daily basis. And that really, you can think of my computer system and everything as a remote control panel for this office as I wander around and travel.
821-WCOL, 821-9265 with Maggie Victor and Steve Roberts, computing across America and talking about what's happening, what they will be doing when they take this trip. So you've done it once. You know the pitfalls that are out there. What things do you have to be concerned about? To me, the weather would be one. That would be an obvious one because mm-hmm. you can't always tell if a rainstorm is coming up and quickly change your route, whatever. Mm-hmm. So what do you do, to protect yourself from the elements?
Things are pretty well waterproofed on the bike, or will be, hopefully, by the time we hit the road. The packs are all under a waterproof cover. I have a rain suit. The electronic equipment is pretty well protected. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly like driving in the rain, but I can do it. I've been in a couple of snowstorms. I've camped in weather down around 10 degrees. Sometimes you just can't avoid it, so you learn to live with it.
You rough it, so to speak.
Yeah, but it's not bad, actually.
All right, now, you mentioned that people were friendly to you. Did you run into any problems?
A couple of times.
People try to rip you off or whatever?
Yeah, a couple of times. Not very much, in no particular part of the country. The parts of the country that people around here led me to be afraid of turned out to be very friendly. Like, people in Ohio said, what, you're going to Louisiana? You taking the gun with you? Mm-hmm. Instant reaction. But Louisiana was wonderfully friendly. Mm-hmm. But there are isolated jerks anywhere. And so somebody in Florida drove past and swung a red guitar at my head, things like that.
A red guitar.
Right, why not? it's the only thing handy, I guess. I've had things thrown at me here and there, but never enough to really create a risk or to create any second thoughts about the trip.
Or make you change your mind and turn around.
Right, no serious personal problems, no actual attacks, nothing like that. Run off the road a few times, a few bad drivers who either don't pay attention or don't care.
What about the mechanical problems? If a bike breaks down, what do?
Fix it. Yeah, carry all the full complement of tools and spare parts. And
you can handle all that yourself, no problem?
I disassembled the whole crank set and all of its little spacers in a New Mexico desert one time. Wasn't much fun, and I mumbled a few things that I shouldn't repeat on the air. But
It's not a problem as far as time, you're not in a race or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
But you always have enough spare parts. You've never been in a situation where something broke and you couldn't fix it, and you said, "Gee, I need another one of these things," and you have to go into the next town to get it. Or
not yet. There have been times when it gets a little tense, but bike shops usually aren't too far away. And you can do an amazing amount with duct tape, tie wraps, and pieces of stainless steel wire.
Yeah, I suspect, when you're out there on the road in the middle of nowhere, you make do with what you have. 9:42 now, WCOL Morning Magazine. If you want to chat with Steve Roberts, this is an amazing story, I think. The man has done this once already. He wrote a book about it. Now he's going to do it again. Maggie Victor is taking the trip with him this time. Steve and Maggie at 821-WCOL, 821-9265. So you would encourage people, and not necessarily maybe to take a trip of this magnitude, but if they wanted to do something like this, start off a short to see if they really like it, 100 miles or 200 miles or what? What would you say if they wanted to get on a bike adventure like yours?
Go for it. in a word, it's that simple. There's so much to be gained and so little to lose. There's so many people who are constantly thinking, you know how many people look back on their life and say, gee, I wish I had done something.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Well, there's no reason to do that. If you want to do it, you can just take the time and get it together and make it happen.
Let's take another phone call, see what one of our listeners has to say. Go to Upper Arlington. Linda, good morning. You're on with Steve and Maggie.
I'd like to know how many miles a day they traveled.
All right.
Good question. An average of about 65 on the last trip. My longest single day was about 136.4, about.
Yeah, didn't you find the desert kind of hot?
Yes. I hit the worst of the desert, the Mojave, I did in November, so it wasn't too bad. But I did happen to end up in West Texas in July, so that qualifies.
Yeah, it was pretty hot when we went to, but we were on a motorcycle.
Oh, were
that
you?
Helps.
Oh, my goodness.
Get through it.
How did you
faster.
Find that experience, Linda? Did you enjoy it, or would you do it again?
A lot of fun. Wish we could do it again.
Well, why don't you?
Can't afford it.
You can't afford it. Okay, that's another point. Expense involved, too. Was it expensive on the motorcycle? Because gas is cheap on a motorcycle.
It cost us $185 total.
Well, that's not bad. How far did you go?
8,500 miles.
Oh.
And it cost you $185?
Yeah.
You could get on one plane and spend that, right?
Yeah.
Though not quite that far. Okay, so if you could scrape together the money again, would you do it again?
Oh, definitely.
All right, Linda. Wow. Hey, thank you for sharing your experience with us.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. 821-WCOL, 821-9265. Let's talk about your expenses. Obviously, people were putting you up, giving you a place to stay, feeding you.
Well, that balanced out with times in motels and other expenses, and it came out about the same. It cost about $2,000 a month, which is about the typical overhead of staying around here.
Yeah, it really isn't that bad when you think about it, considering what you'd have involved in that, including repairs to the bike and all of that.
And expenses of the home office and the telephone and computer networks and all those things.
You didn't have to buy gasoline either, did you?
Not very often. The bicycle runs on pizza and pasta and omelets and things
there
like that.
There you go. 821-WCOL, a lot of carbohydrates.
You bet.
821-9265.
About 5,000 calories a day.
There you go. Maggie Victor and Steve Roberts with us this morning. And maybe we could talk about that, too, in the diet and what you have to eat to maintain your energy for a trip like this. We'll come right back and talk with Steve or Maggie. Rain expected later on this afternoon and evening here in the Columbus area. High today at 83, low tonight 68, and maybe a few showers tomorrow. A high of 84. 73 and sunshine in the downtown on WCOL. In studio guests this morning are Steve Roberts and Maggie Victor. Computing Across America, the name of the business, the name of the book. And these folks are getting ready to take a bicycle trip across the country. Recumbent bicycles, which, as we explained earlier, are much different than your normal bicycle, built for comfort and for speed and for power. We wanted to talk a little bit about the training and the preparation that goes into this, because you don't just decide to get up in the morning, gee, I think I'll jump on a bicycle and travel across the country. And part of that is something that Maggie just experienced. She had a very serious surgical procedure, yet she is back up and riding again and getting ready to do this. Now, what kind of special training does it take? And let's talk about the special diet involved, too. And we mentioned the carbohydrates. But first of all, did you have to go out and decide, okay, I'm going to pedal so many miles a day to get my legs in shape, or do you just bicycle enough that that's not a problem?
Well, I promised myself I would do that, and everybody suggested that I do that. But the other side of preparation is building all of this equipment and trying to pack everything on the bike, so you end up being too busy to do it.
I see.
The training is actually the trip itself. And on the first trip, that was that 750-mile shakedown cruise. I took an aerobics class. You know, I tried things like that, stretching and doing a little bit. You know, but I never had time to ride more than 50 to 100 miles a week.
Do you loosen the leg muscles when you get up in the morning before you start on that day's journey?
A little. I try to remember to do some stretches, but I'm not scientific about it at all. I'm not scientific about diet either. That's about 5,000 calories a day when you're on the road.
Just load up, huh?
Yeah, I've told people that and heard a lot of envious moans. But
well, mostly carbohydrates?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you'll burn those off, but they'll stay with you.
Right.
The compound carbohydrates and that type of thing.
Yeah,
so
not avoiding the temptation to simple sugars and candy bars.
No, but the pastas and things like that.
Exactly.
Do you need chocolate good, a quick energy spurts? Is that still necessary?
I have a bag of Gorp, an easy reach. Good old raisins and peanuts.
Yeah. Oh, that's one of my favorite snacks. Yeah. Okay. That's the kind of thing that'll help you then along the way, so you can just munch while you're going along.
Yeah.
So
gets you up the next hill.
All right, Maggie, what have you done? You're recovering from the surgery, obviously, and you told me you start to pedal the bicycle again. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling physically? Or, you know, you think you're ready?
Yeah, I'm going to be able to make this okay. Saturday's not going to be a lot of riding, and of course there'll be a week in the van to drive to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So I think after that, I should be back to my old chipper self. I have done some aerobics before the surgery. I haven't gotten back into my regular workout yet, but I plan to do some stretching. And I've done 10 miles on the bike the other day, so I think that'll be all right.
What do you do for cramping and things like that? Does that happen along the road?
Never has. I had knee troubles for a while. I had torn a ligament on a bike trip earlier in my right knee, and it still clicks on every revolution of the pedals. Incidentally, the 10,000 miles comes to about 3 to 3.5 million pedal strokes.
Oh, my goodness.
So it really works the joints a lot.
You figured that out on your computer, right?
Yes, ain't technology wonderful.
821-WCOL, 821-9265. A few minutes to spend more with Steve Roberts and Maggie Victor in Computing Across America and the trip that they're going to take. starting out this weekend. Let's go back to getting ready, and we talked about getting ready as far as training, but getting the computers ready and all of that and how long it took and what you had to do. Share that with us.
About 6 months per trip. The first trip was from the initial concept to getting the bike built. I originally built a prototype of the bike in my basement, and the lesson I learned from that is that frame building is an art form, and if I took off on that, I'd probably get 500 miles and collapse. So Jack Trumbull of Franklin Frames here in Columbus was the wizard behind the actual frame that I ended up riding around the country. So while he was working on that, I was building the electronic stuff and getting the computer equipment together. This trip I'm doing on the same substrate. I've upgraded the bicycle now, so that, as I mentioned, 36 speeds and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The real changes in this trip involve the technology with the 5 onboard computers, speech synthesizer, satellite link, all those things. And there's a lot of work in making that go.
So just improving the old communication chain in that system is the major difference between this first trip and the second trip.
Also takes more power. I now have 2 solar panels and complex battery charging circuitry.
Why 36 gears? Do you really need that many?
Sure do. Actually, I need the range more than the number of gears. At the bottom end, there's a granny gear of 16.9 inches that is a real stump puller, hill climber. And with a bike this heavy, you need that going up hills. At the other end of the spectrum is a very, very tall gear for running in tailwinds, and I can cruise in the low 30s, given a good wind conditions, and I have a fairing on the front.
Maggie's bike was 18, did you tell
me?
Okay,
yes.
But you'll be able to keep up with him? Not a problem. He's not going to...
I hope.
Have you been out testing this, riding together?
Well, she's been talking about a tow rope. I'm not sure what she means.
My bike doesn't weigh as much as his in the first place, so I don't think I might have too many problems.
Let's talk some more about starting the trip on Saturday. We just had a caller come up and wanting to know about it. I know you're going to be in Dublin to kick this thing off. Tell us what's going on in Dublin Saturday and then where you're going from there.
We're basically doing a show and tell, thanking the people who've helped, and giving anybody who's interested an opportunity to look over the bike and ask questions. It'll last for about 2 hours. Again, it's at the Anatech parking lot in Dublin. And we will leave shortly thereafter. Actually, we'll go do a photo session that afternoon, probably along the river somewhere, mm-hmm. along the Scioto.
It's on Blazer Memorial Parkway, by the way, in Dublin, right?
Right.
Okay.
Next to Ashland and Bell Training Center and those things.
2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you want to go, you're encouraging people to come, bring their cameras,
certainly.
Take pictures, have a good time.
Everybody's
maybe bring
welcome.
A picnic lunch or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Get some carbohydrates, folks.
Yeah, right.
Bring your carbohydrates.
Bring lots of pasta.
Okay, so then you're getting in a van, if I understand this, and you're going to travel to Vancouver and go from there.
Right. We'll spend about 3 or 4 weeks probably in Seattle after that and then get rid of the van.
That's another God's country area.
That's what I hear.
It's beautiful. Have you ever been to the Pacific Northwest then? It's specifically Seattle. I spent some time there in the Air Force, Puget Sound, the Pacific Ocean, the whole bit. Waking up to see Mount Rainier, the sun. It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous
idyllic.
Area of the country. I think you'll really enjoy it. 821-WCOL, 821-9265. Just a few minutes left to spend with Maggie Victor and Steve Roberts as they get ready to embark on this fabulous trip across the country. And I must admit, I don't think I'd want to pedal all those miles, but I think I would love to take the journey in some form of another. You've got memories of the first trip. Let's share some of those in the next few minutes before you get ready to go. Some of the good and some of the bad things that stand out in your mind. You've got a whole album full of pictures here, and again, I wish we could share these with our audience because they're fantastic. But just meeting people, would that stand out as number one, do you think?
Constantly. If I think about where all of my best friends are located and put little dots on the map, it happens that most of those dots fall along the line of that first trip.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a huge part of the experience. In a sense, because this thing is so unusual, it attracts a lot of people, and I can filter through them all and find the most interesting ones.
Do you still maintain communication with those people? Do you write to them or whatever?
Sure.
Or?
Many of them electronically.
I was going to say, with the computer hookup, that would be the obvious way to do it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's changed my whole life, having the computer networks.
Okay, what about the scenery along the way?
I fell in love with it. I spent a lot of time in the Colorado Mountains wandering around. That fact, that's where the trip really starts to meander and take on a lot of curved lines because suddenly getting from point A to point B was not as important as just enjoying where I was.
Okay. The goals we've talked about, set down your goals for us as you take this second journey.
Fun.
Fun number one. Okay, meeting new people.
Oh, come on. Do I have to be let's see.
See, that's what he told me. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and that's it. I'll tell you about all the negative stuff, right? Just have a minute left.
Well, there's no reason not to let that drive your life. What do we work for anyway? Numbers?
Mm-hmm.
What is success in the first place? And a lot of people seem to define it as the size of your paycheck, the size of your desk, whether or not you have a yacht those kinds of things. And, you know, a lot of those are fun things, but I would rather define success as being the ratio of effort you have to put out to delight that you get back in whatever form that may take.
So, again, if somebody is interested in doing something like this, make sure they're properly prepared, get involved with putting together this whatever particular vehicle.
Bizarre contraption.
Yeah, know what's going on there. I think you have to know a little bit about how to put it together.
Sure.
And or trust the person who's going to do it for you, because this is not your average, you know, trip. Even I think about the Scioto River Valley trip, and those folks mm-hmm. take that. You better have a better than average machine to do something like that.
A few people go without physical preparation and regret it.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever take the trip by bike after doing it by car after doing it on a bicycle, or would you?
The world goes by way too smoothly in a car or a bus. It's actually rather uncomfortable for me. You don't feel anything. Okay. It's like watching TV.
You'd like to invite everybody down Saturday, 2:00 in the afternoon to Dublin. Share this with you as you get ready to take off. And Maggie, I want to wish you good luck.
Thank you.
It's going to be quite an experience for you, I'm sure. Yeah, he can tell you about it and what he's been through, but until you experience it yourself, I'm sure it's going to be incredible. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being with us. I really enjoyed having you on the program today. Steve Roberts, Maggie Victor, and again, Computing Across America is the name of the book. Steve has already taken one trip across the country. They are going to go together across the country by bicycle. If you want to send them off, you can do it at 2:00, 2 to 4, this Saturday afternoon at the Anatech parking lot, 5160 Blazer Memorial Parkway in Dublin. Thanks for being with us. We'll do it again tomorrow. Morning Magazine, 6 to 10. I'm Tom LoCicero. Have a great day, everybody.
Degrees at 9:59. Good morning. I'm John Remy, WCOL News.